In the closing three sentences of today's gospel, Jesus uses the word love four times. And if you just read it, it sounds pretty simple. Just love one another. But the more I read these three sentences, the more I realized I didn't know or I didn't understand what Jesus meant when he says to love another. It's not as simple as I initially thought. Jesus is not just talking about being nice to one another. And I don't understand the what, and I don't understand the how. I don't understand what Jesus means by love, and I don't understand how to love as he did. If I want to be a disciple of his, if we want to be disciples of his, we have to clearly understand the what and the how of Jesus' new command to each one of us. So what does Jesus mean when he says love? Well, love in the English language can either be a noun or a verb, and because of that, it can have many different meanings. The love I have for food is different than the love that I have for friends, and both of those are different than the love that I have for my wife, Jackie. So, oftentimes, we understand the meaning of words based on the context that it's used in. And after reading these sentences, I don't get much from the context. But the verses got a bit clearer when I looked at the original Greek words for love. The Greek language has four different terms for love. The easiest or the simplest form is storge, and it's like the love I have for food. Then there's philia, the love that I have between friends. Then there's eros, which can be best described as the love that exists between a husband and a wife. And then there's the highest form, agape. It's described as the love between God and man and God. And agape is a term that was used in the original Greek passage of this text. Jesus is speaking of the highest form of love. So how can we describe this highest form of love? Well, the classic definition comes from St. Thomas, and he says that to love is to will the good of another. Love is to will the good of another. It's interesting to me that Aquinas, his definition, says nothing about the lover. The whole definition points at the one being loved. It makes clear that love is the will of one person to another. It means that love is a choice. It's something we choose to do. It's not an emotion, and it's not a feeling. Jesus didn't die like that because it felt good. He chose to die that way because he wills the good for you and for me. And what is that good? The good that Jesus wills for you and I and each of us is for eternal life in heaven. So what Jesus means when he says love another is that he wants us to choose to lead the other to eternal life in heaven. So how am I or how are we supposed to will the good of another or love as Jesus does? To love another as God loves us, you and I first have to love God. And we can love God by actively participating in the actions of the Holy Spirit who's with us every day. If we jump ahead one chapter in John's Gospel, we read that Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be yours always." So God wills that we have the Holy Spirit with us always. And how do we participate with the action of the Holy Spirit? Well, we do that by participating in the sacramental life of the church. It's through the sacraments that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to participate in Jesus' mission, to love one another. Each and every one of us who's been baptized has been anointed a priest, prophet, and king. Our ears have been opened to hear the word of God, and our lips have been opened to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the Christ. and we receive his Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism, and at confirmation we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's through the sacraments, baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, reconciliation, anointing the sick, and holy orders that we receive the Holy Spirit, and each one of us are conformed to Christ. But the sacraments aren't magic. You and I have to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Without our yes, nothing happens. The Holy Spirit lies dormant in our soul waiting for us. My participation with the Holy Spirit began 39 years ago. When I said yes to my wife and we were married in the church. And then 10 years ago, at the Easter Vigil, I said yes, and I was baptized in that font right there. And then I stood at the foot of this very sanctuary and said yes again and was confirmed. And for the first time, with some of you here today, I received the real presence of our Lord, his body, blood, soul, and divinity right here. And then yesterday, I received the sacrament of holy orders as I stood before God, the church, Bishop Boyer, and said yes again. So for over 50 years, the Holy Spirit was patiently waiting for me to say yes to Jesus' new command to love. And he's patiently waiting each and every day for each of us, for you and for me to say yes to his command, to love one another, to go outside of ourselves and our own egos, to unite ourselves to one another through the communion of will, to dedicate ourselves to the good of another, to giving ourselves to another, and to raise that person up, making them better and more beautiful in the eyes of God. And when we do this, when you and I do this, all will know that we are his disciples, because we have love for one another.